tonight is the ideal church. What is the ideal church? I was going to name it the perfect church, but there is no perfect church. If there was a perfect church and you were looking for it, you'd find it and you'd ruin it. Amen? That's the old cliche that we heard. But when you ask most preachers, they would say that they want a successful church. No preacher wants a church of failure. We all want a successful church. I would venture to say, and probably it would be safe to say this, that you as a church member would say that you want to be part of a successful church. Amen? Am I safe to say that? Of course. We all want a successful church. Now, the way that we rate successfulness is usually a lot different than the way God rates success. But many today look for success in various things. They'll look for success in attendance. If the attendance is not high, then the church is not successful. They'll look at success by the number of buildings and the size of the buildings. Many times we'll look at success by the offerings. Many times we'll look at success by the number of baptisms and salvations and salaries and the cars and the fringe benefits and the insurance and retirement. So we look at success really totally different than the way God many times looks at success when it comes to a successful church. You could go out and buy every book on the shelf on how to have a successful church, but there's really only one book that you need, and that's the one in your lap and in front of me. This tells us how to have a successful church. The church, I believe, is extremely, and you believe this too, don't you? The church is very important to Jesus Christ. Right? Amen? I mean, we look at the, well, let me read Ephesians 4 first, and then we'll dive into this. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the decision that we made tonight for taking on these ministries and missionaries. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for the unity in this church. We pray that you'd continue to bless us and use this church, Lord, mightily to send the gospel around the world and send men and women around the world to preach the gospel. Lord, we pray tonight that you bless this message. Use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We have the orders from God as to what he wants to be done in the church. He gives us the titles of the different individuals, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He tells us what they're for. It's for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting is not for me to preach to you how to become sinless. The perfecting of the saints means the maturing of the saints, the growing of the saints. Now, if we were to say, now, I may get some eyebrows on this. I may get some thoughts or comments on this, but I'm going to make the statement. So often we think that the only reason for the church is to win souls for Christ. That is not the only reason for the church. If it was, God would have put it in here. He didn't put it in here. All right? Are souls important to be won? Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know that that is not the main goal or the main job of the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church? It's not. The main purpose of the church is to grow the brethren. to bring the brethren to a maturity, to teach one another the Word of God. Now, winning souls is important. There are some churches that go to the extreme on both ends. And I believe that we need to be balanced here. I believe that should not be our only goal, is just to win souls. You can get a lot of people won for Jesus Christ, and what are they as soon as you win them for Christ? They're babes. Now, babies are cute and cuddly and coo, they coo, and but you know what? Babies need a lot of attention. They need 24-hour attention. And babies, eventually, you would hope that they would grow up and become men and women so they can go out and do their own thing, right? But a baby, as I said this morning, I mentioned it, a baby, if it stayed a baby for the rest of its life, would be extremely difficult to tend to. And so there are Christians like that. They get saved, and immediately the pastor forces them out to go win somebody else, and that's all they do. They're just winning people to Christ, which is okay, I'm not against that, but they never grow in a mature setting. They never get discipled. They never get to the point where they become mature in the perfecting of the saints. They never get to the point where they grow up. And so the first trial or the first tribulation that enters into their life, so many times they're gone. Or they cause division in the church because they're not mature in the things of God. The Bible says that We are the job of the pastor, the evangelist, the missionary, the teacher, is for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build the body of Christ up. That's the church. It says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. That's a long process. That takes time. And so the church is extremely important. You know the verses, but in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, Acts 20, 28, now, you're part of the church. You're here tonight. You're part of the church. You may be a member. You may not be a member of this church. But you're still a part of the ministries here if you attend on a regular basis, right? Acts 20, 28, the Bible says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, that tells us the importance of the church. We are to feed the church, but he purchased it with his own blood. Jesus Christ died for the church. That is an important aspect of the ministry of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that, how important it is to the Lord, but how important is it to you and I? There's a lot of Christians that don't view the church as important at all. We have people today that don't view the church as important at all. It's a sidebar. It's a side thing. It's a convenience. If they have the convenient time to come to church, that's when they come to church. When they feel like coming to church. When they don't have anything better to do, I've had people tell me, then they'll come to church. That tells me that they don't view the church like Jesus Christ viewed the church. They don't have the same vision that the Lord had. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, would you say that's important or what? Gave himself for the church. Husbands, love your wives, but then it's just thrown in there like as an additive, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What an important aspect of the ministry of the church. Jesus Christ loved the church. He gave himself for the church. Matthew 16, 18, it says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Don't you then prevail against the church. If the gates of hell, Jesus said, but there are people that actually try to prevail or go against the church of God. Sad. There's a story of a church, and I read this story just yesterday or the day before of how an evangelist came into a church, and the pastor said, I got a burden for this guy. I want to go and visit this guy. And so the evangelist says, well, give me a little bit of information. Well, this man left the church 15 years ago, and he's not come back to church at all. And he says, well, why did the guy leave the church? And he gave them a short little dissertation on it, but he says, let's go visit him. So they went and they knocked on his door, and the guy opened up the door, and his wife came out standing behind him, and the gentleman came out and says, well, hello, Pastor. He says, you know why I haven't been back to your church in all these years? And the guy says, well, I know, but why don't you tell us, and that way we can try to help you maybe. He said, well, you remember that day that your church bought that piano? Yeah, I remember the day we bought the piano. Do you remember that we were discussing what side of the auditorium that piano should go on? He said, yes, I remember that. He said, do you remember the discussion? Some of the church wanted it on the left side and some of it wanted it on the right side. And then you chose the side of the church that piano was going to be on. He said, I know, we finally had to make a decision. He says, well, that bothered me. And what that gentleman did is he got up, and right after the pastor said it's going to go on this side of the church, he got up and he walked out. He's never been back to church since. Because they put the piano on the side of the church that he didn't want it. So as the gentleman was talking a little bit more, he finally said, wait a minute. He turned to his wife and he says, what side of the church did I want that piano on? After 15 years, he totally forgot why he even left the church. He left the church because he was upset, but he couldn't remember what side he wanted the piano on. Does that tell you how important? What does it matter? Who cares what side of the piano that it goes on? Do you know how many churches have split over the color of the carpet? Over paint? Over pews? Over light fixtures? Over stupid, menial things? It doesn't matter at all. And people get all upset and mad, and they get mad at the preacher, they get mad at somebody else because somebody else made that decision. They get mad at the deacon board, they get mad at the trustees, they get mad at this one, they get mad at that one, because somebody made a decision to do something in the church that they didn't like. Let me tell you something, there are babes in Christ that have that kind of an attitude. If you have that kind of an attitude, listen, I love you, but you're a babe in Christ, and you need to grow up. You need to mature. You need to get in this book and you need to start getting spiritual. Because that's what Paul is talking about here. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. What is he saying? Well, the previous two verses. He's saying, listen, we need to build people up. We need to perfect the saints. And you perfect the saints by maturing the saints. And how does a saint mature? How does a Christian mature in the things of God? Reading a book. Reading the Bible. You say, oh, Pastor, are you going to touch on that again? Yep. Yes, I am. Reading the Bible. Reading the Bible. And reading the Bible. That's how you mature as a Christian. Let me secondly say this. You mature as a Christian not only by reading the Bible, but by coming to church. By getting a backbone and by getting some tenacity and some steadfastness to say, I'm going whether I feel like it or not. That is a sign of maturity. Amen. Amen. Maybe you don't agree, but I'm just trying to help you here tonight. I have several things written down here, but let me just give you a couple for the sake of time. Number one, the ideal church, number one, is a spiritual church. And I'll say this again gently, not to offend too many of you, but the main purpose of the church is not to just win souls. The purpose of the church is to be a spiritual church. A spiritual church. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. Souls are important. Please, please don't leave here saying Pastor doesn't believe in winning souls. Please don't say that. You're lying through your teeth. I'm just saying, we sometimes overemphasize on some things that are not really given to us in the Scriptures as the main purpose of things. It's a side, it's something that we need to be doing as we mature in Jesus Christ. But the Lord wants us to have a spiritual church. We just read that in Ephesians chapter 4. Of how we need to perfect the saints. That means mature, grow up. As people mature in the Lord, as they get in their Bible, they're going to naturally want to win somebody to Christ. Amen. You're going to want to talk to somebody about the Lord. You're going to get some Bible knowledge. You're going to you know exactly what happened to you. You're going to want to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to want to get them into the house of God. You want to make sure that you see other people saved. But listen, folks, the Lord wants us to have a spiritual church. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while some saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal when you saying, hey, I'm a Paul follower, I'm an Apollos follower, I'm a Peter or a Cephas follower, I follow, you know, Jack Hiles when he was alive, I follow Peter Ruckman, and I follow this group, and I'm in this camp over here, and I'm part of this group over here, and I follow that pastor. Be careful when you start following men. That's what Paul was warning them about. You're following me. Listen, was Paul a great Christian? Absolutely. But he said, don't follow me. Don't lift me up. Don't make me your idol. Don't make me your leader here. You can do that as I follow Christ. But hey, so, you know, there was a group of people in the church that was saying, and this clique over here was just, they were Paul worshipers practically. And then you had another group that were Apollos worshipers. And then you had another group that were Peter worshipers over here. And that was the problem in the church. He says, you're a bunch of babies. You need your pacifiers. You need your bottle of milk. He said, I can't even feed you with meat because all I can do is give you a bottle once in a while because you're babes. And then he says this. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who's the ultimate leader in our life? Jesus Christ. God is. Be careful when you set some man up high on a pedestal that you end up following him or his camp or his group or whatever. Because many of these men have fallen. And unfortunately, they've taken many men down with them. Good people down with them. And so we need to be careful about that. We need to make sure that we're a spiritual church. What makes up a spiritual church? Spiritual people. You and I, being spiritual. Let me give you four things about a spiritual church. What is a spiritual church? Number one, a spiritual church is spiritual in the Word of God. You must know what the Word of God is, where the Word of God is, and how to use the Word of God. And so a spiritual church is a church that believes that the Bible is God's perfect, preserved, and pure Word. A spiritual church is a church that believes and holds fast to the Word of God. Thank God that this church does that. We hold fast to God's Word. We believe in the Word of God. And we can even name, we even know what the Word of God is here in this church. But you can carry around a King James Bible and still be a baby. Because if you're not spending time reading this book, you're not growing as a Christian. You will stay as a baby for a long time unless you're literally attempting to be a spiritual person in the church with the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3:14. 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. What does that word perfect mean? It doesn't mean sinless. It means mature. It means spiritual. And so the Word of God is wrapped around this meaning here, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to make sure that we are spiritual in the Word of God, that we are spending time, quality time, in God's Word. And you know that. We harp on it all the time. Brother Gip harped on it all this past week. Every good preacher, every good missionary, every good evangelist is going to make sure that their congregation understands the importance of being in the Word of God. You say, preacher, why do you harp on that all the time? Because there are good people in our churches that don't spend any time hardly in the Word of God. You say, well, how do you know that? Do you go into their houses and look? No, I have no clue. But I know the way they act, their attitude, their spiritual maturity level. I can tell. You can tell also if somebody is growing and maturing in the Word of God or not. Right? You can tell. You can tell by just looking. You can tell by listening. You can tell by observing. There are people in this church that, thank God, I have watched over the years grow greatly. Amen. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying there are some that I've also watched that did not grow that well. I'll leave it at that. But I'm saying, folks, that we need to be in the Word of God. We need to understand that that's where our spiritual appetite needs to be. That's where our spiritual barometer is in the Word of God. It's not in the worldliness. It's not in worldly things. It's in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, in verse 1. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, well, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That is happening all the time right now. People are being turned to fiction. People are being turned to entertainment. People are looking for churches to entertain them. We're not in the entertaining business. You want to be entertained? Go somewhere else. You want the Super Bowl in big screen up here? Go to some other church and get the Super Bowl in big screen somewhere. You want to be entertained with live music and all kinds of things going on? Go somewhere else for that. We're not in the business of entertaining. We're in the business of trying to produce and preach the Word of God, as Paul says. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelists. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. You understand that? That's what Paul was saying. And so, a spiritual church is spiritual, number one, in the Word of God. Number two, a spiritual church is spiritual in our walk with God. You've got to be walking with God, folks. You've got to walk with Him every day of your life. Now, I know you walk with Him through the Word of God, right? Amen? You open up that book, you start walking with God. He takes you on journeys in this book that you've never been on before. Isn't that a blessing? He takes you on walking journeys. He instructs you and He tells you these things. But we need to be the most spiritual person we can be. Look at Romans chapter 12. And again, these are verses, I'm not giving you anything new here tonight. I'm just trying to recap and give you something that makes, at least make you think about this. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to be spiritual in our walk with God. It's sad when you see Christians walking by the way of the world, walking by the way of the flesh, following somebody else down the pathway of life on the Broadway that leads to destruction. How many times have you seen people like that? A spiritual church has to be spiritual in our walk with God. And so, are you walking with the Lord? With that walk, hopefully you're talking with the Lord. Right? When we walk with somebody, hopefully we're talking with them. If you walk by yourself, you're talking with God. If you're walking with somebody else, you're talking with that person. And so a spiritual church is going to be spiritual, not only in the Word of God. I believe that's number one. I have put these in, I think, the order of importance. We need to be spiritual in the Word of God, but we also need to be spiritual in our walk with God. So the question is tonight is, do you have a walk with the Lord? Do you and God take walks together? Do you and God talk together? That's how you're going to mature. That's how you're going to grow as a Christian, by walking with the Lord. Having a walk. Hey, God, let's go take a walk. You ever just say that to God? Let's take a walk. God, I just got some things I got to get off my chest. Some things I want to talk to you about. Some things I want to ask you about. Lord, let's just go for a walk. And a mature Christian will want to walk with God in their life. Number three, a spiritual church is not only spiritual in the Word of God or in the walk with God, but thirdly, a spiritual church is spiritual in our work for God. Our work for God. So many Christians just... I love what... I think it was Brother Gipp this past week that talked about the foam warmers. Right? He brought up the foam, you know, the foam in a chair. You come, you warm the foam, and then you go, and you come back, you warm the foam, and you go, and you come, right? I mean, we have a work to do here. We have a work to do in the church. We have things that need to be done. We have spiritual things. We have physical things that need to be done within the church. And so there is a work that we need to be involved in. I really believe this with all my heart. A mature spiritual Christian wants to do work for God. They'll look for things to do for God. They'll if they hear of a need in the church, they're one of the first ones that volunteer that want to do it. That's a sign of a mature Christian, because they're growing in the grace and the knowledge of God, and they want to be involved within sometimes within the four walls of a church. They want to be involved with the ministry. Sometimes we have to, you know, ask, hey, we could use some more nursery workers for the nursery. And that's a need that our church always has. And there are times that we have physical needs within the church that has to be met. And it's going to be met by somebody. Somebody's got to step up and do it. But a spiritual church is filled with workers that want to work in the church. It's a blessing in this church that we do have people that want to work. It's a blessing when we go to other churches. We're going to be down to the Summit, down at Solid Rock Baptist Church this week. It's amazing. It's a big church. I know they run a couple thousand or whatever it is. But it's amazing just to see the people. They got these gold coats on. They're the assistants. They're walking around trying to help us. And they will come up, hey, need anything? Is there anything I can do for you? They are there. When you see a yellow coat or gold coat guy or a lady, they're there to assist all of us that are there. I mean, the nursery is filled with workers, and the cafeteria is filled with workers, and the people are running around just serving people all the time. It's amazing to see that. Yes, they got a lot of people there, but I'm telling you, they got a host of people that just, hey, whatever you need done, we'll do it. They'll stay up all night long cleaning the church. All night long. By the time we leave there, it's late at night, and the place is a mess, and it opens up the next morning. Who's going to clean that? Who's going to run the vacuum in that huge auditorium and clean the cafeteria or the gymnasium? Who's going to be out there doing all that? The grounds are kept immaculate. Whoever's in charge of mowing the lawn is amazing, because everything is perfect. I mean, I look at the grass and it's perfectly trimmed. It's like, wow, who does this? Somebody's in charge of that kind of stuff. Somebody's in charge of cleaning the building and taking care of this and taking care of that. And it shows you the maturity of a church when you have people saying, hey, I'll do that. I want to take that as a ministry. I want to make sure that the place looks good. I want to make sure that this is handled and that's handled, Pastor. So please, let me do whatever needs to be done. Instead of begging people to do things. Volunteers are wonderful. I know, I don't want to volunteer for nothing. I was in the service and we learned that. Well, you can change your attitude. Yeah, right. Amen? Change your attitude. But we need, there's a work to be done. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. We need people willing to work, to do the physical things that need to be done in a church. And finally, a spiritual church is a church with people that realize that we need to not only be spiritual in the Word of God, in the walk with God, in the work for God, but how about spiritual in the way of God? The way of God. Which way is God going? Is God going by the way of the world? No. Is God going by the way of the flesh? No. What way is God going? And a spiritual individual, a spiritual person, realizes which way God is going and says, I want to go that way. A train, a locomotive, pulls a whole bunch of cars in back of it. Those cars are following the locomotive. Those cars are worthless and helpless without the power engine up front. And you and I as Christians are helpless and hopeless without the power engine of God leading us and us jumping on board and saying, God, I'm going your way. I don't care which way you go, God, but I'm going that way. God, if you want me to be a missionary, I'll go that way. God, if you want me to be a preacher, you want me to be, I don't care. You fill in the blank. God, I'll go the way that you want me to go. A spiritual person is willing to go by the way that God wants them to go. And it's usually on a straight and narrow way. Very straight, very narrow, because the broad road leads to destruction. And there's a lot of people on that road, as we all know, according to Matthew chapter 7. But a spiritual person wants to go in the way of God. John 4 and verse 24. John 4, 24. John chapter 4, verse 24. John 4, 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Are you going the way of God tonight? Or are you going your way? You know how many Christians are going in their own way? Doing their own thing, got their own ideas. And preacher, you know, don't bother me. I've got things I got to do in this life. So what you're telling me is you're going your way. Not necessarily God's way. Usually God is going in the opposite direction of many Christians today. But what we need to do is jump on board and go with God. His way. That's a sign of a spiritual person. That they want to go by the way of God. How about the work for God? Spiritual Christian wants to be involved in the work of God. Whatever needs to be done. Spiritual work, physical work, whatever. That's what we need. Churches need people that are willing to be involved with the work of God. We need people today that are involved with the walk of God. They're spiritual and they want to walk with God. That kind of goes along with the way of God, but it's a walk with God. Just going for a walk with God. And saying, God, help me, direct me, lead me, help me to grow in the grace and the knowledge of You. And then we need people in the Word of God. That's a spiritual church. That's what we need today. I believe that God wants our church to be a spiritual church. I hope and pray that you want to be part of a spiritual church. I hope and pray you want to be part of a spiritual church. This church is not perfect, folks. Okay? It's pastored by an imperfect person. It's pastored by somebody that is not perfect. He's got his flaws. You probably, most of you have been around here a long time. You've got them all figured out. You got them all listed. Here's the flaws of Pastor Fenton. Here's all the things wrong with him. Yeah, I know. You don't have to write them down. I already know what they are. But can we be spiritual? Can we be a spiritual church? Can we attempt to do something for God? Does the Lord want a spiritual church? Yes, He wants a spiritual church. That's His goal. I think so many times God is up in heaven just saying, give me some spiritual churches. We got too many involved in the entertainment aspect and involved in all this other stuff that's of the world. God just wants some spiritual people, some spiritual churches, some individuals that'll get spiritual with the Word of God and the walk with God and the work with God and a way of God. That's what He wants. He just wants some people that'll just get on board and let's work together. Let's worship together. Let's be a spiritual church. We don't need to be a worldly church here. Okay, you want a worldly church, you can go out of the parking lot, head east or west, you know, north or south. You'll find one. If you want an entertaining church, you'll find one. We're not trying to be entertaining. We're not trying to be pleasing to people. We're trying to be pleasing to God. Amen. Pleasing to God is more important than pleasing people. Amen. Understand that, please. Let me just close. I just closed my Bible, but I'll open it back up to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Revelation 4:11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." The purpose of creation was for God to be satisfied with the way we're living our lives. And so what kind of a life are we living? What kind of a spiritual life are you living? We don't need worldly Christians. We need spiritual Christians. We don't need Christians that are involved in the things of the world. We need people that are involved in the work of God. That's what we need. So let's be a spiritual church tonight. Let's do everything we can to be growing and maturing in the things of God. Are you growing? Give yourself a good checklist, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning. Are you checking your growth, your spiritual growth out? Are you producing fruit? The fruit that you bear is based upon the root that's in the, that you have in your life. Are you producing fruit? Are you doing something for God? Or is it all about you? So often it's all about us. You know, how can I be pleased? No, how can we please Him? How can I get the glory? No, He gets the glory. We don't deserve any glory. We deserve hell. Thank God we're not getting it. Father, thank You again for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, that You have given us this book and we can trust and we can obey. Lord, I do pray that You would help us as Christians tonight. I pray that everybody in this room, and we got a good little turnout here tonight, Lord, I pray.